This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
Before we jump into this week's episode, I wanted to remind everybody of our partnership with Thrifty Traveler. Now through Black Friday, they're offering 50% off their premium subscription. Usually $100, it's discounted down to $50 for an entire year. That means premium travel deals sent to your inbox every single day all over the world for flights anywhere from economy all the way up to business class, both for points and cash. Easy way to score big and find those really hard to get point redemptions. Take advantage and you'll find the link to everything you need to know in the show notes. Now, on to the episode. Imagine being able to take your entire family to dream destinations like Japan or Morocco without breaking the bank. That's exactly what Amina Bakali, award travel expert and mother of three, has mastered. She's not just a travel enthusiast, she's a pro at turning everyday expenses into unforgettable adventures for her family of five. In this episode, we're going beyond the usual tips and diving into how Amina makes global travel accessible and even plans her family's spiritual journeys using points and miles.
Imagine pursuing your dreams of exploring the world's most exquisite destinations without the extravagant price tag. This is the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, hosted by DeAndre Koch, founder of Boldly Go and an expert in financial planning as recognized by Forbes. This podcast is your bridge to a world where travel savvy meets luxury. With DeAndre's unique financial planning perspective, you'll glean insights on making the most of credit card loyalty points and miles for travel that doesn't just move you, but takes you places that you may have never thought possible. Expect the most up-to-date credit card strategies for points and miles, stories from successful professionals on how they integrate travel into their busy lives, and other captivating stories from around the globe. Whether you're a seasoned traveler or just starting out, join us in exploring the best of global travel and learn how to experience nearly free luxury travel around the world yourself. Your journey transforms here, igniting our revolution in the world of travel.
Welcome, everybody, to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast. I am your host, DeAndre Koch. Joining us today is Amina Bakali. She is an award travel educator. She knows all about the points and miles, family travel enthusiast, and the creator of Hassan's On Holiday. And so she's a wife, mother of three, and she's turned everyday spending into family adventures around the globe using points and miles. So Amina, welcome to the show.
Thank you, DeAndre, for having me. Such an honor, such a privilege, and definitely excited to chat more about what we both love doing, traveling on points and miles.
I am ready to get into it. Before we do, I have to highlight the fact that we are actually going to get a chance to meet in person in a couple weeks at the Travel More conference, which is in your neck of the woods. I think it's in Arlington area, and you're in Dallas?
Dallas. It's in Dallas, and I'm in McKinney, so about 35-ish minutes away. So not too far, but in my hood, super excited that I will not be having to get on the plane. I can just drive there.
Yeah, no, we've got a 7 a.m. flight, so this episode will have come out a week or two after the Travel More conference, but excited to get a chance to meet you in person there.
Definitely looking forward to seeing the people that, like, you know, you chat with online and you become like online besties, and then it's like, oh, now I know your real name and your face and not just your handle.
Exactly. Well, perfect. Amina, let's jump into this. I'd love to get a little bit of background on yourself. So we already covered where you are, because so you're currently near Dallas. Is that where you're from? What do you do for a living, and how'd you get into the points and miles world?
Yeah, so I was born and raised in Dallas. I have been in Dallas all my life, never lived anywhere else. After college, I worked in finance. My background is in government and politics in my undergrad, and I actually just finished my master's in 2021, so in the middle of a pandemic, in nonprofit leadership. And so my background is in like nonprofit, social impact. And prior to the pandemic, we had been traveling, but it was more, we just knew our like Southwest. We were just very like focused on one or two things. you know, as far as like rewards programs. My husband's job had like recently changed around that time too. And we were a family of four at that time. And we were just trying to figure out how we could just have more family time together, how he could give more time. Our older two were younger at that time. And so he switched jobs and he would be able to work remotely. And this was prior to the pandemic, before remote work really started taking off and was more acceptable. And, you know, of course it came at a price of, he's in consulting, so he would have to travel. And that actually has just worked really well for our family. We are now a family of five. And so when he started traveling, I would see all these points kind of start adding up. And again, we probably had one, maybe two cards that were like travel focused. And I would just feel so excited when I could just book our points on Southwest, and we naturally just earned a companion pass. There was no strategy, nothing like that. I was just like, wow, you know, and I was like, there has to be a way to do this where if he has to travel, he has to travel. I get that. But, you know, I don't have to wait for him to travel and accumulate all these points. And then, you know, so I started just going down that rabbit hole of loyalty programs. And here we are. Our youngest will be four in December, and she has already been to 10 countries. So here we are.
Very cool. So you started unpacking the travel, you're already traveling, but the loyalty programs, the points and miles, the opportunity to really dive deeper into that. I'm very curious, was your husband immediately like on board, player two action, let's go, or a little bit more hesitant when it came to the conversation around let's do more, get more cards, sign up bonuses here and there? I'm really curious. I think all the listeners, they have different experiences.
You know, surprisingly, like he was actually on board. I think initially it is a bit overwhelming because you're managing multiple cards, and we had always been big about financial discipline. Thankfully, that had never been an issue for us. But now as we're starting, you know, a real player one and a player two strategy, we're adding in multiple cards now every few months. It was a bit scary, but he was never like, we can't do this. Once he kind of started seeing that this is actually really going to be the only way we can travel better and travel more, he was like, yeah, do your thing, you know, do your thing. Because, you know, I actually did not take initiative for travel. You know, it was mostly just we would talk about going to a place and he would look up something, and we had some points on Southwest, and wherever that took us, right? So no, he got on board pretty quickly, and he's actually a very supportive player too. So
that's awesome. Well, we're definitely going to want to grab some of those amazing trips and amazing destinations that you've been to. And you said your youngest has already been to 10 countries, which is incredible. Before we get there, though, let's talk through the process, right? What does it actually look like to be able to accrue these points outside of just the sign-up bonuses? Because I know one of the things that you talk about through your content and through your blog is everyday spending. How can someone have everyday spending and accrue points through that method?
So we are a family of five, and simply put, it's not hard for us to meet the minimum spend on a card, right? So obviously for us, yes, those sign-up bonuses are key because we get a good chunk of points and it takes a lot of points for us to go anywhere. I also do occasionally watch out for like those targeted offers as well on cards that we already have, because sometimes that lines up really well with, let's say, one of my husband's work trips. I know after switching jobs, the way you book corporate travel, that's changed a little bit for him. Before, he had a little bit more leeway. Now it's like, you know, 50-50, let's say, where there are most aspects 50, you know, he can kind of book on our personal cards, and then some of it he can, you know, you just put in your loyalty number, but you have to use the company's card. So I kind of really focus on that. And obviously, like referral points, there's two of us, right? So I really focus on, you know, referring and seeing targeted offers on some of our favorite cards, especially like, you know, airline and hotel place, you know, cards or programs that I know we frequent as a family. So what I try to do is I try to really leverage, obviously, our everyday spend. We also have financial obligations to our elderly parents, and so we also have to include that in our budget. And so between that and then my husband's work travels, like, it's just too easy to meet a minimum spend, you know, frankly put. And yeah, did I mention the three kids?
Three kids, three mouths to feed. So with that being said, you mentioned, or you used the verbiage, some of our favorite cards. I'd love to ask you, Amina, what are some of your favorite cards? What are your daily drivers that you're probably racking up most of the points on? Or are you constantly switching them out as you're trying to hit the different sign-up bonuses?
When it comes to like our automated expenses, and again, I think it works differently for every family because we're five and plus it's just a hassle. I don't mess with our automated spending. I have those divided on our two favorite cards. My husband has the Capital One Venture X, and so we have like 50% of our expenses there. And then I have my Chase Sapphire Preferred, 50% of our expenses there. And so that way we're all, and you know, we're always earning two different types of currencies. And especially now adjusting to being a family of five and needing two hotel rooms everywhere, you know, there's a bit of a learning curve, but you learn what type of points you need where. Like I know Hyatt, I just became Hyatt Globalist and we've been Hyatt Loyalist for some time, right? And now I'm like, let's give this Globalist a shot and see if we can do it. You know, as a family of five, obviously I know so many other perks there, but it's just a different strategy and harder to achieve, right? If we're not, if we're also tied to those peak times for travel, right? So yeah, our expenses are shifted there. I don't mess with those because it's just too much. So let's say when we're getting a new card, you know, I'm literally just, I always look at, okay, are we able to meet the minimum spend? And generally speaking, it's like $3,000 to $4,000 over 3 to 4 months, which again, as a family of five with other financial obligations, it's not hard. So let's say dining and, you know, groceries or gas or the flat tire or the car expense we just had come up on my husband's car for no good reason at all, you know, or like kids have to go to spring sports next, you know, stuff, just daily expenses. It's like, hey, we have it in our Google Pay. I have, you know, he has Google, I have iPhone. So we have it on all the devices. So let's say if you don't have the physical card, you know, it's all there. So that's that card that we're using to meet that minimum spend, if that makes sense. We're not shifting our automated expenses, like whatever electric bill or this bill or that bill. Like that's just on those two respective cards, which are my two favorite cards. But every time we get a new card, like this morning, I had a breakfast meeting. And so I was like, okay, I have my physical new card that I'm meeting a minimum spend on. That's what I'm using. It may not give me the most back for that dining, but I have to kind of forgo that until I meet the minimum spend on this card, which may or may not be a favorable strategy for everyone. But that's kind of what works for us.
So, I mean, now when people hear cards, especially multiple cards, their immediate thought is debt, right? So someone could hear what you just said. If we took a snippet of what you just said and played that, someone's like, oh my God, the car bill and the kids' activities and the food, all that, you're just racking up all this debt on your credit card. Can you share with us what the reality of that actually looks like?
Yeah, it's, I use a Travel Freely app, number one, free. I know a lot of us use it, love it, keeps everything organized. So I know all my cards, I know fees, I know when everything's due. Not just that, whenever I get a new card, I log in, put it on auto pay. Because at the end of the day, and I was telling someone this too, I'm too old and tired to like try to live a life that I can't afford. You know, we have one going to college in a few years. We have one still in preschool. So that being said, we just don't have the time and energy to try to maintain a life that we can't afford. I know we joke in this space and say we're taking trips we can't afford, which is true, because if we were to put the cash sticker price on these trips, I can't afford the recent Japan trip that I took a year ago in cash, that is, right? So I know it's tricky when you see like a snippet of a reel and it's like, what? What does that even mean, right? So the reality is just auto pay, and we're not overspending. We know we're going to maybe be dining out on the weekend with family. We know we have our usual weekly grocery runs on the weekends. You know, like we have those staple expenses. And so why not make the most of it, right? So I think auto pay and just being organized with all your cards. And I think the biggest thing maybe that is also, I feel, not talked about enough is just making sure that your player two is not just on board with this whole let's travel for less thing, but like also financially you're kind of like on the same page. But I feel like that ties in. And I know it sounds funny when I say this, our end goal is not travel. I know, right? It's like, then why am I here? Our goal is yes to travel, but our end goal is to be able to like have it all. And this is our way of kind of having it all, where we're saving for our future, we're taking care of our daily expenses. You know, we're not digital nomads, we're not like, we can't travel all the time. We are tied to work and school schedules, especially school schedules, right? So this is just our kind of little way of like being able to do it all. So if that makes any sense.
No, it makes perfect sense. And I would assume then that when you're saying having things on auto pay and those type of things, just for added clarification, you're also saying yes, and we avoid interest because we're paying off the cards in full. Is that correct?
Yes, we pay everything off each and every month, like in full, no exceptions. Because then other than that, then it's like we're not really winning then when it comes to any trips I might book on points, right? Like that's not really a win then, right?
Absolutely. And the reason why I wanted to really plug on that is, and the listeners know, you know, my role is running a financial planning firm, right? Financial advisor. I always have to have the financial advisor mindset. And anytime we have new listeners, I want them to know, hey, this strategy, this game that we play, this hobby that we have, right? It can be misused, but when done properly, it can have a lot of benefit. And as you said, I mean, you said you guys want to have it all, and this is your way of having it all without also the glossy expenses of, you know, pretending to be this Lamborghini driving influencer actually in debt, right? It's very different.
I can't. Yeah. You know, this is just our little way of being able to do that, because we know the reality and the economy and everything. It's like, we could maybe do like one trip, right? Like maybe one domestic, maybe one international, and that would be about it, right? But I think I like to use, and especially the last few years, our mindsets have shifted where we try to use a work travel as part of our financial plan and wealth building strategy, because it all ties in together. It all ties in, the financial discipline part. Yes, I will admit it is definitely harder to stay in budget when you're leveraging multiple cards, because you can't remember, right? Did I overspend all my groceries? No, no, no. I think, you know, like it really takes a lot to realize that, like, I guess to manage is what, and that's, it's taken me a good few years, because I manage all of that. And then we always go back to the drawing board before, let's say I have to apply to another card. I want to make sure everything is checked off. We're still in budget. We're still not overspending, or, you know, did I do that new card on auto pay or not? Cause we're handling so many things, and let's face it, like there have been missed payments. And I'm like, oh my God, I got that card and I forgot to put on auto pay. Right. Like that's happened to us before in the past. So yeah, definitely. I try to just go back to the drawing board every so often and like check up on all those things.
So I'm curious, I know you mentioned that your husband's daily driver is a Capital One Venture X. So of course, 2X on everything. You're racking up the Chase points with the Sapphire Preferred. Do you guys also play in the Amex world as well, or not really on a daily basis?
So, you know, I was going to talk about this more at Travel MoreCon too. And I know don't throw eggs and tomatoes at me, everyone. I have yet to go in the Amex world. And I know I am probably missing out, but I'm just trying to, I guess, take advantage of whatever Chase I can get. I may have to kind of slow down and slowly go to Amex. You know, I had shared about this about a year ago, like our Japan trip was really a lot of those ink bonuses, which the timing was just so perfect. So it's not that I have anything against them. It's just that there's been so many good offers that I'm like, okay, next month or next quarter. But yes, I was actually going to talk about how we've even made it this far in this many years. And I know with Amex too, there's a specific strategy and I don't want to mess that up. So I have not played into Amex. The closest I have gotten is I have opened up the business checking account for me and then my husband, and you know, where you get like the 60,000 American Express points. So we did that at two different times, but that's the closest I've gotten.
Very cool. I tried to do that, funnily enough. And for whatever reason, Amex does not allow business accounts to be open for financial planners. That was a category that they actually was like, sorry, we can't approve you. I've gotten approved on every Amex card. I've got all the cards. I've got the platinum, the business platinum, all the things, but the checking account that I would think would be the easiest.
Oh, I just saw that and I was like, okay, that's an easy 60K, 60K, 120, you know, that's easy. But yes, I get to go on Amex. So that will be coming soon. I don't know when.
Well, I mean, I want to transition a little bit. Can you talk a little bit more or share how you handle the travel with kids, right? You've got a four-year-old, you said, in preschool, already been to 10 countries. How do you do it?
I don't know. It's a lot of coffee. So our oldest is now 15. Our son is 11, and our youngest will be 4 in December. And I think when they were younger and our older two joked, they're like, Mom, you had only taken us to Mexico. We're in Texas, so it's easy to get to Mexico, right? They were like, you've only taken us to Mexico when we were 2 or 3. And I'm like, yeah, because Mom wasn't smart then. Mom and Dad were not smart then. We were young. We were naive. We were young parents. We were just trying to figure out this whole getting settled, having kids, raising kids, how to do all this, right? And just moving in our careers and saving and all this stuff and buying a house. And, you know, travel wasn't that big. We always wanted to. I think COVID just lit a fire in me. And when you realize that the world can shut down at any moment, I was like, you know, we're not getting any younger. And so I think that just really, really, really just opened my eyes to realize like anything can happen anytime. The world, it's not, you know, tomorrow's not promised. And I think the biggest thing was just when we had her in respect of to my older two, we are also older parents this time around. And she just goes with the flow. And I think, again, the biggest thing I'll tell people is that you have to be on the same page with your partner and spouse. It is tiring when you feel like there's four of you on one page and then the little is like in her own little world and she's the boss, let's admit it. And I tell my older two that if she's happy, if she's fed and she has slept, this trip will go round. So there's a lot of teamwork. There's a lot of just not caring about things that we used to as a first or second time parent, and definitely being on the same page with my spouse and how to divide and conquer. Because at the end of the day, it's like we still want to enjoy the trip. And now I feel like there's so many resources that make things easy for parents too, right? And it is so, so true. I shared this on my stories today. The sooner you start with them, the easier it is. And I did not believe that. I did not understand that. I did not know that. I just didn't even think that was true until after having my third. I think it was just a shift in perspective. We do have resources, like, you know, we have certain favorites for her that we take just to make it easy. But I feel like because we started so young with her, by 3 months, she was on a plane. By 6 months, she was in Europe because Mom and Dad wanted to do that. And she had been to so many places when she was free, you know, 2 and under. So I think it's just perspective. I think it's just realizing that you just don't know what tomorrow is going to hold, honestly. And I know sometimes that sounds cheesy and that sounds cliche, but that really just shifted our mindset into like, do we really want to do this? Because we're always going to have something, right? We're always going to have something, whether it's family or kids or school or work. There's never going to be a perfect time to like really go all in. We just have to make it work with the time we have. So I hope that answered your question.
No, it absolutely did. And I'm curious, so on these trips that you have taken, are you typically flying economy, using your points for economy, or using them for a business class? How do you typically use your points?
I'm just not cool enough yet, like some of you guys do on business class. I wish in my mind I'm there because I really want to stretch my legs and I want to sleep, but I'm not that cool yet. I don't want to do business class with my three-year-old. I think if it was just my older two, maybe, but it's all economy right now. My husband and I, sometimes if we're lucky enough, we try to get away once a year, just us two, but you know, it's hard just to get all those stars lined up with like babysitting and that amazing business class deal. So we were in Malta in February of this year. My husband was like, that could have been a good time to get us in business class. I was like, babe, I got us a trip alone. Okay. You know, like, let's just enjoy that. But no, we're economy. We're just an economy right now. I think maybe once we got like a free upgrade on one of our trips or something. It was like one of those short flights. I don't even remember. It was so long ago. But no, we're economy for now.
I think there's nothing wrong with that either, because right, like you, business class for 5 people would probably cost 5x in points what it does for economy as well. So I 100% get that.
You know, sometimes I do want to leave them when they're on my nerves and I just want to get on that business class flight and go by myself. When they're all just getting on my nerves, I haven't done that yet, but I'm so tempted sometimes. I'm so tempted.
I can definitely imagine. Well, has the experience in the points and miles world made the travel still more comfortable, right? You know, as far as maybe the lounge access or hotel benefits, can you talk to how you're playing the points and miles game has still changed, or by the theme of this podcast, right, revolutionized your journey when it comes to family travel?
Yeah, like I think I got really lucky because, as we know, the first Capital One Lounge opened in Dallas, and I'm in Dallas, so I was like, okay, I'm gonna get on that. And I actually had my husband open that card back. I still remember back in December of 2021 when it was that 100K bonus. I don't know if anyone remembers that, but I had him get on that right away. That has definitely changed because now I don't have to worry so much because, you know, someone's always hungry. Even I am like hungry. Someone always wants a snack. Someone always wants a drink. And it just makes it so much easier, especially when, you know, a lot of times we're either doing Southwest or for international, a lot of times we're doing AA or doing an AA partner, right? So we're flying through DFW and I don't have to worry about, I'm like, guys, let's just get our butts early to the airport. We don't have to worry about like snacks or packing or just things just to kind of busy. Cause you know that whether we park at the airport or just the whole travel, like all of that takes time until we get to our final destination. And I love the fact that with Capital One, we get those to-go bags, right? Of like healthy snacks. So that also helps us a lot. As far as like hotel, I am a firm believer in like loyalty to a program. And for me right now, in this season of life, it is Hyatt. And so I feel like even before Globalist, it's always served us well because the rates are a lot affordable. They easily transfer over from Chase. And we earn those points really fast. Two connecting rooms, family plan rate. It just really works well for our family because, like I said, you know, some of those places you can only get two people max to a room, right? So naturally we're in two rooms now. So yes, hotel program is high all the way for us right now.
Hey, it's DeAndre here, and we're going to interrupt this episode real quick to tell you about two great opportunities for all of you. First, join our private Facebook community to connect with fellow Points and Miles enthusiasts, get exclusive tips and updates, as well as get your questions answered directly by me and others in the community. And if you're looking to level up your Points and Miles skills, we've partnered with Lux Travel Hacks to offer you 50% off their online course that will teach you all the basics you need to know to learn how to travel in business or first class, all for less than you'd pay for economy. Don't forget to use the code BOLDLYGO at checkout. You'll find all the details and links to both of these in the show notes. Now, let's get back to our episode. So, Amina, another subject that I know that you talk a lot about is budget travel hacks, right? And so, obviously, as you've mentioned, family of five, a lot of mouths to feed. We've got to be smart about the everyday spending and the how we can manage finances properly when it comes to these trips that you are taking. And you mentioned something earlier in the show that I'm not sure everyone picked up on, but because you have a family of five, for a lot of places that you travel, that's going to mean two hotel rooms now because they typically cap each hotel room at four people. And so I'm curious, how have you been able to navigate that space, or what are some of the tips that you have out there for other parents or families that are listening to this that may have a larger size family that are trying to figure out, how do I get my whole gang on a plane somewhere so I can enjoy this same lifestyle of and that feeling of having it all?
Yeah. So, I mean, if you're talking more specifically about hotels, let's say, I would say it is tempting. There can be other like Marriott, Hilton. I know I've stayed with those programs when it hasn't been us five. Maybe it's been us four, or it's been maybe us two, like me and my husband. Like we stayed in like a Riyadh in Morocco. It was amazing. It was through Marriott. And I didn't even realize we had that opportunity, you know, that stay there. But when it comes to all five of us, I can't emphasize loyalty to a brand enough. And I also do this when my husband's traveling for work. I'm like, hey, let's put those expenses on the Hyatt card because some of his work expenses are like, you know, adding up in the thousands, right? Because he's able to book it on our cards. By the time you had a week long trip and a car rental and the whining and the dining and all that stuff, I'm like, hey, I can easily earn two free nights with Hyatt just with all your work spend, right? So I think keeping strategies or just like really knowing those cards, like knowing how you spend and knowing how you travel. Like being loyal to that. And I know sometimes that gets tough because not every place you go to, like, I know we've gone to places, and sometimes in Europe we've done that Airbnb because that works better. So just really knowing what works for you. And if you are able to just really being loyal, whether it's through spend or whether it's through stays. And I talked about this a little bit, achieving globalist was honestly through just organic spend and organic stays, really. It wasn't, I can't really do mattress runs. I just don't have the time or energy for it. I wish sometimes those promotions will come out like stay an X number of nights and X number of days. And for us, again, it doesn't work because we're tied to school schedules. So being able to leverage kind of like tips like that, kind of, you know, and as far as just overall, I think your question was just how we make it work. I think the biggest thing is like mindset, is just realizing that whether you're a family of 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever it is, you have these expenses that you just cannot avoid. If you're going to live, you're going to be spending. And maybe you're spending more than me, maybe you're spending less, just depends on your family size and how you know, where you are and everything like that, right? I think when you have that shift and you realize that it's not just about travel, this is just about, like, why not be smart? Like, if I use a debit card or cash, I'm not going to get anything back for these bills that I have to pay. I have to pay, mortgage aside, obviously, but, you know, I have to pay my electric bill. I have to pay my car bill. I have to pay, you know, like, these are things, forget travel, I have to pay. Once you and your partner, if you have a partner and you get on the same page, I think it's just, it's amazing what can happen when you have that shift. And I know there's so much out there with, oh my God, you have multiple credit cards and you're going to go in debt. I think you have to kind of block out the noise of it. And I think you have to do a lot of unlearning. I think for us, it wasn't so much about the unlearning. It was more about blocking out the noise of like, oh, so-and-so is doing it that way. Or so-and-so says, oh my God, you're going to go in debt. You know, we're South Asian by background. So this whole points and miles and like leveraging multiple credit cards, we, as Muslims, we stay away from interest, you know, I'm sure you guys know that. And so that's like a big thing. So it was a little bit of like rephrasing our mindset to realize that if we just treat our credit cards like a debit card, we will win every time. And financial discipline, thank God, it hasn't been an issue for us. And so, yeah, that's just how we make it work on the daily. It's just once that mind shift happens, then it just, you can just go places.
And that was a perfect what you mentioned, right? So you and your husband are both Muslim. I think that's a really cool segue, because if someone were to go to your Instagram account and to your website and your blog, they're going to see a lot about your spiritual pilgrimage travel that you do on points. And so I wanted to transition to talk a little bit about that, because I think that's something super unique and creative. And I know it's referred to, I think, as Umrah. And please educate us on what is that, and how have you been able to take something that's so personal, so integral to who you and your family are, and still be able to do that utilizing what you now know with points and miles?
Umrah can be a very expensive trip. So Umrah is basically, the best way to describe it, it's a spiritual pilgrimage. And as Muslims, we pray 5 times a day, and we are facing the direction of the Kaaba, and the Kaaba is in Mecca. So we visit, part of Umrah is visiting Mecca, and then you visit its neighboring city, Medina, because there's another holy mosque there. And so, you know, just being able to visit Mecca and pray there in person and see this mosque in person, something that you pray towards every day, 5 times a day in your daily prayers, it's hard to put that in words. It's really, truly hard to put that in words. And as we know, you know, whether you're going to Dubai or Oman or anything, just getting to that side of the world from the US is so expensive. It's so expensive. Cash, it's so expensive in points. And we have done this trip. We did this trip in 2022, and it was mostly cash. It was mostly cash, and we used a little bit of points for hotel. And at that time, I hadn't really brought the two together. And then I was like, wait, I do all these trips and I'm doing points and miles. I can get to this side of the world on points and miles. Why have I never just put that together? Right. And we are fortunate enough to go this fall because, you know, it's a trip that you, like I said, it's expensive. By the time you add in the travel to the two cities and you have to take a train between Mecca and Medina, and of course, hotel stays and airlines, just like a normal trip in general, it's expensive. And so I was like, you know what, I had made the intention and I was like, you know what, I really want to come back more often to visit Mecca and visit Medina in Saudi Arabia. But again, it's going to cost me. I was like, you know what, I'm going to come back next time on points, because that's the only feasible way for us to do it as a family of five. Actually, in this case, we're leaving our little one because, you know, we're going more for worship as opposed to leisure. And it is a little taxing and it's exhausting. So in this case, we're fortunate our family will be watching our little one. So it'll be my older two and us, me and my husband. So four of us will be going. And yeah, I just strategized it the same way. We'll be going this fall and we are going from Dallas to Istanbul, which I booked on points. Again, American Airlines, you know, out of DFW. And then from it, we'll be spending two nights in Istanbul. And then from Istanbul, we're going to like Mecca and Medina from there. And it's just different bank currencies. And, you know, this many years, I've been doing this maybe 6-7 years. I understood what kind of currencies work for us as far as bank currencies. And so I just booked the trip the same way. And our total out-of-pocket cost for the booking has just been $500.
Wow. That's incredible. So no matter what your travels are, whether it's a pilgrimage or it's for leisure, right? Points and miles can absolutely revolutionize how you travel and how you get there.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm just like, why did I not realize this sooner? Why did we spend so much money? But again, just the privilege and just the opportunity to go is so amazing in itself. And at that time, we just had the opportunity. Because like I mentioned, again, for us, there was also that aspect of we left our little one at that time too. She was just shy of two. Now she's going to be just shy of four. And it's not that kids are not allowed there. I don't want to give that impression. There are kids. Families do bring their kids. We are just going for worship as opposed for leisure. And because we have so many stops, we have a lot of travel because I booked on American Airlines to Istanbul because I was like, once if I can get us to Istanbul, then from Istanbul to Jeddah is a cheap flight times four or so. And I'm getting that cover through Capital One, or already have that cover through Capital One. So, you know, I was like, if I can just get us to that side of the world, I can figure the rest of it out. So that's why, you know, this time I planned more in advance. I was like, last time when we had done it, we were just grateful to go. It had been so many years and we hadn't been. And so our priority at that time was not so much points and miles. It was just the ability to go and like be able to leave our little one. This time I was like, I'm going to plan ahead. I'm going to work smarter. I'm going to work better. And then also asking family to watch our little one. So it's like multiple dynamics going at the same time, multiple things.
I know you're going for this very specific objective, which you have been before. Have you had the opportunity to visit a lot of other Muslim countries?
We went to Morocco, which was interesting because we went to Umrah in November 2022. We came back and a week later, me and him went to Morocco. So I have to thank our parents for, you know, our families for being okay with that because I was literally asking for 10 days of babysitting. One little two-year-old at that time, then I said, I'm going to see you in a week, watch all three of them. And somehow they got on board with that. So I've been to Morocco, but I haven't been to any other Muslim countries in the region. Turkey, yes, we did spend 10 days in Turkey in 2021. We did like a month in Europe. It was July 2021. And we did like Spain, France, and Turkey. And we spent like about 10 days in Turkey. So that's kind of been, again, it's just a lot of points. I think I haven't really strategized because I'm just like, you know, you kind of have to kind of go with whatever works in the moment. But yes, those are definitely on the list to visit. So especially as our kids are getting older, we definitely want to visit more of that region.
I absolutely understand that. And the reason why I wanted to ask that is because so far I've been to Dubai, Qatar, Oman, Indonesia as well as a primarily Muslim country, although Bali is actually the one part of it that's primarily a Hindu. But what I wanted to express, which I think is really important for what the listeners to hear, is I have never felt safer than when I have been in primarily Muslim countries. And I think that's important to say because I know you were born and raised here in America, but you also know the mindset and the thought process that's in America on travel, but also in the Middle East and countries there. And I remember when I posted saying, hey, we're going to the Middle East, right? All the comments were like, oh my God, don't go, cancel your trip, get a refund, all these different things.
I know.
Right. It's so crazy. And I would say it's a little bit of a culture shock. And I think a typical American would probably take a little bit of a step back when you step onto a plane and everyone on the plane but you is wearing what I would call traditional or typical Arab or Muslim garments, right? And so it's mentally very different, but we had the best time. People were the nicest, generous. The streets were the cleanest. Oman, one of my top, I think, five countries ever been to. Absolutely incredible. We rented a vehicle ourselves, drove around, drove through the sand dunes, drove at night.
I have learned from you how to do that. Because it's on our list.
So I just wanted to point that out to say, I think it's really cool because I believe, to my knowledge, you're the first Muslim that we've brought on the show. And, you know, you're making this pilgrimage, this trip to, or this Umrah. I don't know if it's a trip to Umrah or considered Umrah, but you're making this pilgrimage specifically. And I think it's really cool for those to listen and hear that say, oh, well, I would never go there. That no, you should, because I think it will completely open your eyes and see that the world is a really big place and there's a lot of really great people no matter where you go.
Yeah, can we talk about the food? We're big foodies.
Yes, let's talk about the food.
We are big foodies. And so, yeah, like most of our out-of-pocket costs there, it's all food. It's all food. We're like, my husband's a big foodie. I wasn't so much a foodie, but after we got married, like he's already scouted the places. I'm like, honey, we're only going to be in Turkey 2 days, or we're only going to be in Mecca for 2 days. And he's already scouted places. He has saved where he wants to eat. I'm like, okay, that's fine. You know, so we're excited. We're excited. We love trying new food. And you know, you mentioned about the culture shock. You'd be surprised, even though, yes, I am visibly Muslim and they see me in hijab, and even in Morocco, like we went and like you're walking through the souks, they know that you are not from there. Even though I may be dressed a little bit like them, they're like, she's American. We got to get her. She's American, you know, because they're trying to obviously convince you to buy what they have. And as you're walking the markets and really market to you. And so you'd be surprised. Even, yeah, I still remember that. I'd be like, I'm just tired. I'm just trying to walk to my hotel, my Riyadh, you know. And they're like, nope, she's American. We got to get her. Even though you think, I mean, visibly, I may look a little bit more like them than maybe the person next to me. Sure, right? But it's been amazing, though. We really enjoyed our time there. So, yeah. We have a lot of places we have to go to and so little time.
So little time. Well, I'm going to, before we start wrapping up, I'd love to hear, outside of your last pilgrimage that you guys took as a family, any top destinations, places that you guys have been that you really want to highlight that just really either blew your mind or redemption that you did experience overall just was, you really want to highlight. I know you mentioned Japan last year. I'm not sure if that was one of the top, but would love to hear one of them.
Yes. So, you know, Umrah for this year has just been amazing to be able to accomplish it for so little out of pocket. Obviously, you know, I always try to put that disclaimer that yes, there will be expenses there, but you know, I have to say, Umrah aside, like Tokyo, the family still talks about Japan. My little one still talks about it. All she had was mochi there. And my older two, my middle one, I think just loves and eats that type of food. That was just our first trip to that region, that side of the world. And we spent a good 9 nights in Tokyo. It was like a 10-day trip, inclusive of travel. Of course, we did like Dallas to Seattle. And then the main deal I found was from Seattle to Tokyo. So I have to say that's hands down been our family favorite trip. After that, I would say it would really be our month in Europe. And that was one of our bucket list things that me and my husband wanted to do. The pandemic delayed it, but I'm also a firm believer that everything works out when it should. It was so interesting. It was 2020 and we were supposed to take this bucket list trip to Europe and we were supposed to spend a month there. And we know how 2020 worked out. And I was pregnant at that time and we didn't know if we wanted to do that trip. And then COVID hits and I was also in grad school and we were also building a house because apparently we like doing all the things in 1 year and there's a global pandemic. And that has to be hands down our second favorite, I would have to say so far, is just being able to do a little bit more of that slower travel. We are tied to school schedules and we're limited, right? You know, as to how long we can go for. Yes, we have the summers, but that was just also a very memorable trip because we spent like a week in Spain. We did like Madrid and Granada. We spent like a week in Paris. My husband and I had been to Paris, but not with the kids. And we're like, okay, we want to take them back. Same with Granada. We spent a week in Paris and then 10 days in Turkey. So we're excited to be back to Turkey. I know we're not going to have too much time, but we'll take what we can get.
Perfect. Amina, one of the things I didn't mention, I mentioned that you are, we're going to be seeing you at Travel More, but I didn't actually mention that you are a speaker at the Travel More conference. And so any couple quick highlights you want to mention of things that you plan to chat about? I know you did mention the lack of Amex in your points and miles portfolio, but anything, any other highlights you plan to mention or talk about?
So I'm going to be on a family travel planner with a panel, excuse me, with two other creators, and each of us will bring our own perspective. And my, that was going to be my perspective, is that it's really about doing you do you. I think there's so much in this space that's emphasized, and then there's so much that's not emphasized. There's so much that's misunderstood. I feel like if you just take the time to, yes, learn, I think there is so much beauty in learning from different types of people that travel differently. But I think at the end of the day, you also have to really just block out that noise and realize that it may not work for you in the season of life you're in. And I don't think that's something that's talked about enough. Yes, I know there's so much value in Amex cards, but I've had to just kind of learn for right now what works for me. And I'm just kind of going with that. And as we know in this space, stuff changes all the time. Dynamic pricing, award pricing, this, that, card offers, stuff is changing all the time. So that's really what I'm going to be focusing on, is like how to just figure out a strategy that works for you, even if it means going against the grain, even if it means using your Capital One Venture Miles to cover a car rental, which is, I know, not the most ideal way to use your points, or whether it's covering theme park tickets or an Airbnb, or, you know, learning that you can make this work for you in whatever season of life you're in, because in another season, you'll be able to maybe maximize better or do something different. So just figuring out what works for you, just being able to focus on the opportunities you have, as opposed to how do I do this as perfectly as possible? Because yes, I tried that too. And I'm like, that's not going to work for me right now.
Got it. Awesome. Well, Amina, where can the listeners follow you? Where can they find you? What's the best way to connect with you?
So you can find me, Hazan's on Holiday. You can DM me. You can email me. All my links are there on my Instagram as well. You can find me on my website too, hazansonholiday.com. The fastest way to reach me is either just through Instagram message or email. I'll be sharing all my tips, tricks, everything will be there on Instagram.
Awesome. And we'll link to all of that on the show notes as well. So Amina, I want to wrap up two things we always like to ask. First, who else should we have on the show?
So there is another family creator. Her name is Abby from Wayfair. I don't know if you've had her. Also, she's also a family of five. She's also in Dallas, does some pretty cool trips with her family as well. She has younger kids, three little ones, and just really amazed. They also make it happen. They're also tied to, you know, similar schedules like us, but I love her travels. I love her content. Yeah, one that I would recommend.
Perfect. Well, we will try to get connected with Abby, because we have not had her on the show yet. And any final thoughts at all? I mean, anything else you think that'd be good for the listeners to know? Any last tidbits before we wrap this one up?
Oh, there's so many tidbits. Biggest thing I would say is that it's just mindset shift. Honestly, it's really, really, really a mindset shift. If this is something you want to do, you can leverage financial discipline and financial accountability. And you're a financial planner. You know this better than I do, right? You can leverage that for whatever you want. In this case, if you want to leverage it for travel, you're going to have to block out the noise. You may have to unlearn stuff. There's a lot of, as a South Asian, I face so many cultural taboos, so to speak, when it comes to points, miles, credit cards, all that stuff. You just have to know that I have my finances in check. Me and my partner, if a partner's in the picture, spouse is in the picture, we're on the same page. You know, we're going to do what works for us, because this will allow us to experience, to have these trips, to have these experiences that maybe we can't afford, right? Or maybe we can't do as often, you know, whatever your reality may be.
Awesome. So what I heard today was block out the noise, make sure your partner is with you on the same page, get the whole family on the same page with you as well. And at the same time, if you do these things and you enjoy and work in the points and miles world, you can as well have it all, like you said, and it's having it all in a way of getting the life of travel without paying the life of travel cost.
Yeah. You know, and what's interesting is that I say this being on the same page, but I'm also guilty of booking the trip, putting it on the calendar, and then nicely telling him later that, don't worry, it's in 6 to 9 months. So I'm also guilty of doing that because, you know, as we know, award deals don't always last, and we're looking for 5. So yes, I will be the first to admit that, you know, I'm guilty of doing that. So be on the same page, maybe tell him about the trip prior.
Well, awesome, Amina. Thank you so much for being on the show today and being transparent, you know, sharing your wealth of knowledge on how families can travel more affordably through using points, through using miles, and also sharing, you know, some more, I'd say, the special moments as well, including, you know, your trip to Umrah and taking us through what that's going to be like for you guys as well. I think that was a really special add-on. So really appreciate your time today and also helping share how the listeners can continue to revolutionize their own travels.
Yeah, no, thank you. This was so fun. Such a pleasure to be here and chat with you. I know when it comes to like points, miles, travel stuff, we couldn't be having this conversation. Like, we can continue this for hours. There's just so much to get into. And I know I'm the type, when I find someone that I can like geek out over it with, like, I get so excited because yes, he's excited about our trips, but you know, making it happen, is it going to happen? Can I make it happen? That whole redemption thing, you know, there is like, obviously I'm panicking more than I'm excited because there's so many of us, but you know, there's so much that goes into that, you know, your spouse or partner might not get right when you're booking. So I'm always excited to actually put a name and a face and like actually geek out in person with people that actually get that, like, what am I talking about, right? What points and miles, redemptions, all this, transfer bonuses, whatever, you know, what are you talking about? So definitely a pleasure. Really enjoyed chatting with you today. And so looking forward to meeting you in person.
Absolutely. It's going to be an opportunity of 3 days of a bunch of us geeking out over points and miles. And I'm really curious what's going to happen to the lounges in the Dallas airport, because there's going to be a lot of people going to the Capital One lounge and a lot of people trying to get into the Amex lounge.
Get on that wait list is all I can say.
We're going to have to figure that one out. Amina, appreciate having you on the show today. This has been absolutely amazing. For the listeners, please make sure to go ahead and follow Amina. We're going to link to everything in the show notes. Don't forget, as always, to subscribe to our podcast if you haven't already. Tell a friend, give us a rating, and we will see you on the next episode. Take care, everybody.
Thanks for tuning in to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, brought to you by Boldly Go. Hit that follow button so you don't miss out on new episodes. For deeper insights and to level up your travel game with our strategies, make sure to follow us on our social media platforms and sign up for our newsletter to stay in the loop. Head over to www.boldlygo.world to learn more. As DeAndre is not operating through this podcast as a fiduciary and/or financial advisor, this should not be considered personal financial advice. The information covered and posted has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The strategies and results referenced on this site, while proven, are not guaranteed. While most who apply the principles referenced will achieve similar results, you may not yourself. Your results will vary and depend on many factors that may be in or out of your control, but include factors such as your credit score, financial status, business experience, etc. It is your responsibility to consume and implement these recommendations at your own risk. We cannot be held responsible for any failure to do so.
Luxury flights and hotels can be had for free. The world of points and miles sounds too good to be true, but it's actually real, but only if you know what you're doing.
On Frequent Miler on the Air, Greg and I'm Nick, discuss all the ways to earn points and miles and use them for outsized value.
Join us every Friday for our full episodes and every Tuesday for our quick, single-topic coffee break episodes.
See you there.